Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Laughing, this is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your linen shirt wearing, energy bill avoiding. Thank God for braids because it's too hot to wash my hair right now, friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney. All my sandals are glued together. I'm in a war with some wild rabbits. A waiter mistook my table of friends for flight attendants because we all have the same United credit card. And then we answered questions about the airport for him. Friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world. And we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what is your topic this week?
I am talking about weird science headlines.
I love it when you do this.
Thank you. What's on your plate, Bethany?
I am talking about shows that were canceled too soon and, more funny, shows that should have been canceled well before they actually were.
Oh, yes. I can name quite a few.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing. But first, Kathleen, yeah. I have not talked to you.
I know.
Since you came into the studio this morning.
Yeah.
Because not because we're fighting, but because we were talking to our engineer, Blair.
Yeah.
How was your weekend? It's a Monday as we record this.
Yes, Bethany, I am still on a high because I went to a place yesterday called Ice Cream World.
Where is Ice Cream World?
In Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
I had the strawberry shortcake.
Oh my God.
It's a seasonal flavor, but there were, like, no joke, 100 flavors to choose from. And I was panicking when I got up to the counter because I was like, they all look so good. Can I just have a taste of, like, I don't know, the top 25?
Yeah. What? So is it just an ice cream parlor or is it like a museum and ice cream?
No, it's just an ice cream parlor.
Do they have merch?
They don't have any merch.
What?
I know, they should. Maybe I should make my own merch.
Yeah.
You know, like, people actually make quite a lot of money doing fake merch for TV shows and movies.
Totally.
Like with movie quotes, with movies they have nothing to do with.
Completely.
They just like the movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, how was your weekend? I heard you went to a handful of Goodwills.
Yes, we went to several Goodwills. We were in the Philadelphia Independent Film Festival on Friday. And so we did a day trip to Philly and back.
Oh.
And so on our way there, we went to a bunch of Goodwills because we love thrifting.
Yeah.
And I sent you a picture of the Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen VHS of How the West Was Fun.
I was wondering where you were and where you stumbled upon that quality VHS.
It was 50 cents. And then I am mad at myself, but the price seemed a little steep. Mm. There was a signed, framed headshot of Orlando Bloom that they were selling for $10.
Stop it.
And it was an old photo of Orlando Bloom. This was like, this looked like pre-Pirates of the Caribbean Orlando Bloom.
Who's donating that? Like,
did you say that again?
Oh, sorry,
Siri,
my watch.
You're not part of this.
Sorry, my watch like always talks to me when I don't want it to talk. Be quiet, you little bitch.
Stop it. So it was like, it's, you know, I don't know, but someone was really going through their stuff. I'm trying to see if I can find a picture of it.
Who's going through their stuff and thinking, this could have a better home than the one that I'm giving it?
But I guarantee someone is going to find that Orlando Bloom and is going to be real psyched about it. He looks really young.
Yeah.
Here's the picture of
it. Oh, yes. Very young.
Super, super young. And he looks sad. There was a lot of like late 90s, early 2000s stuff in there that I found really pleasing. So I think someone went through their teen stuff.
Uh-huh.
Here is the Extreme Teen Bible.
Oh.
No fears, no regrets, just a future with a promise. The New King James Version. And it's written in that like late 90s, we're all crazy, jittery stuff font.
Yeah, like the Delia's catalog type thing.
Yes, totally. Uh-huh. And on the inside, this was really sad. There's an inscription. Someone's parents gave them this Bible.
Oh, no.
In beautiful cursive, it said, "Fear not, for God has heard."
Oh.
From Mom and Dad with Love, Christmas 1999.
Oh, that is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
So whichever child they gave this to didn't value it. And it but also the parents didn't seem to value the child, because there was a whole plate on the front where you could put like, this Bible is for so-and-so from so-and-so on this date with a message. And they didn't even bother to fill that out.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
Well, did you find like anything good to take home, or any good boy band t-shirts?
Not really. Yeah. No, I didn't really do very well. Dennis found a couple of like video games and stuff, but I was really looking for that that brass wiener dog basset hound statue that we've been talking about on the live shows that my grandma had and then someone gave away. But alas, it is not at a Pennsylvania or New Jersey Goodwill.
Much like Love, you will find that basset hound when you are least expecting.
Yeah, I'm really I'm really crossing my fingers for that.
So I heard about this interesting concept, and I've been waiting to really dig into it.
Okay.
When I saw you in person, your ghost outfit. It is the outfit that you die in.
Yeah.
And therefore it is the outfit that you wear as a ghost for eternity.
For the rest of your life.
And so maybe we all need to think more carefully about what we're wearing.
Yeah.
So our ghost outfit isn't like a pair of yoga pants with a hole in the crotch that's so you can sit down and pee without taking your pants off.
Yeah. Do you have one? Because I saw the tweet where it was like, every day when I get dressed, I think, is this the outfit I'm going to die in and will I want to wear for the rest of my life? What would yours be? I'm trying to find the show that I'm thinking about.
I don't know, Bethany. I mean, my wardrobe, much like a lot of people after the pandemic, I don't even wear real clothes anymore.
Yeah.
If it's not comfortable, I'm not putting it on my body. And basically what I'm wearing right now is what I wear every single day, which is my slip-on Rothy sneakers. I have on a pair of jeans, just like a random orange tank top, and then my utility jacket.
Yeah.
And this is basically what I wear every single day.
There was a show on Sci-Fi called Being Human.
Yes, yes, yes.
I loved that show.
I saw the first season, I believe.
It's a vampire, a werewolf, and a ghost who are all living together. And the ghost, for like the first several seasons, is just wearing leggings, a long tank top, and a cardigan. And it's the same the whole time. And I was like, I wonder how many of those they bought.
Yeah.
And I wonder how sick that actress is of that being her outfit.
And also, imagine you spill something on it and they're like, no!
Yeah, I bet they had like 20 of each of those things once they realized what she was wearing. But then there was a season where she figured out a way to be human, and she was dating an undertaker so he could help her as her skin was rotting and falling off.
Oh,
he could like
God.
Help her plaster it back on. But she got to wear new outfits. And so it was probably really exciting for that actress, because she was wearing like little sexy dresses and like all of this stuff.
Well, what do you want your ghost outfit to be?
I think the caveat comes with, do we feel discomfort in the afterlife?
Okay.
Because if we do, that's going to inform my choice.
Oh, okay.
You know,
How so?
Like, well, if we feel discomfort, then I'm not going to want to be corseted. You know, like if you're uncomfortable in an outfit, you can't wait to take it off at the end of the day. Oh, wait, you can't ever take it off.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would probably be some type of leather appearing legging, but one that stretches and is comfy, and like a loose, flowy, white like shirt, similar to what I'm wearing right now, so that it can flow and people can call me the lady in white.
Yeah, you kind of get that like effervescent ghostly effect.
Yeah. But like also a black, like a small black corset around it, because that's cute. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe like a some type of light overcoat or some sort of like cinched jacket.
Yes.
You know, so the overall silhouette is very pleasing, but I can still move around in it.
Like a bohemian Willy Wonka, one might say.
More like a, if a yoga teacher had sex with a Victorian lady, that's what would come out.
You know, my niece is reading Willy Wonka, the book, in school right now. And first of all, I'm under a rock or something. I didn't know that Willy Wonka was based off of a novel. Did you?
Oh, yeah.
And apparently in the novel, the grandparents all sleep in the same bed.
Yeah. Have you not seen the movies either?
I mean, I've seen the movie, but I thought that that was like a weird thing for the novel to include too. I thought maybe that was like the director's, you know.
No. They all sleep in the same bed.
That is so weird.
Yeah, it's all four. It's a Roald Dahl book. It's all four grandparents sleep.
Oh, it's a Roald Dahl book? Mm-hmm. Where have I been?
I don't know. It's a very good book. It's dark.
Stuck on the Giant Peach, apparently.
Yeah. Did you read James and the Giant Peach?
Oh, yes. Love that one.
I was in that play.
Oh.
Who do you think I played? If you say the peach, I'm going to be very upset.
Because your ass is so good.
Girl.
Were you the caterpillar?
Close. I was the grasshopper.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I had a cane.
Oh, yes. And you have long legs. Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. It was a good time. So, Kathleen, I was going to ask you a question. Now I can't remember what it was.
Uh-huh.
But I am happy that we are in the same studio again.
Yes.
Last week was virtual.
Yes.
It's rough. When I'm used to having you here, I don't like then not having you here.
I know, you know? I know. It's very strange.
Yeah.
I don't like the virtual because it's like talking to your grandmother on the phone.
Yes, yes.
When she hasn't put in her hearing aid.
Yeah.
And you're like, Marge, Grandma Marge, I got the pierogies in the mail.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And she's like, what? What'd you say?
What? Yeah, it's brutal. Yeah. We do what we have to do, but it's nice to be here.
Yeah.
Even though we're separated by like 6 feet of table.
That's okay.
It's all right.
6 feet of table is better than no table at all.
It's what Grandma always says.
Take the table like a lady.
Kathleen, you just bought a condo.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Yeah.
But.
Which means that you had to have your credit checked, as did your husband. And
many, many times.
That can be incredibly stressful, especially if you realize that the pieces of plastic in your wallet are maybe not doing enough for you. That is why we love the Secured Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card. You can start building credit with everyday purchases and on-time payments.
Yes, improving your credit with the Credit Builder makes life a lot easier because improving your credit is surprisingly complicated.
So many things are involved and it feels like it can be out of your control. But with Credit Builder, you can increase your credit history with no annual fees or interest.
And with my Secure Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, having a good credit score can mean better car loan rates or even renting apartments easier or just bragging rights at the dinner table.
So continue your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and it doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/taste.
That's chime.com/taste.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank NA pursuant to a license from Visa USA. Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. Regular on-time payment history can have a positive impact on your credit score. Impact to score may vary and some user scores may not improve.
So an oldie but a goodie, Bethany.
Yeah.
You know how I love a good weird science headline.
Absolutely.
An honorable mention. I'm not going to talk about it, but actually I guess I'm talking about it right now. You know how scientists for a long time were like, we're using penguin poop to measure how far the Arctic is melting.
No.
Yeah, yeah. They could measure how old the penguin poop was
in
the ice. Anyway, that's now changed to penguin bones.
Okay. Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. I guess both, you know, it's just when a penguin was walking around.
Yes, yes. Okay. Story number one, Bethany, this comes from sciencenews.org. Scientists have grown living human skin around a robot finger.
No, 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 no. You simply included this story to trigger me and I will not have it. Why are they doing this?
My goal was to trigger you. I'm so sorry.
Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? Kathleen, we are just rushing headlong into stupidity and the moment that the aliens or the robots take over, mm-hmm. it's the singularity is like 2 years away. We're so screwed. Why are they doing this?
It is the Terminator in real life. It really is.
Why? Why? Yeah. I don't want this.
So researchers at the University of Tokyo, they've built a robot finger covered in living human skin. The goal is to someday build robots that look like real people. And before we know it, robot assassins will basically be indistinguishable from the rest of us. So get ready for them to be running amok.
You know, I've said many times.
Yes.
I don't have a joie de vivre, but this makes me even less of having a joie de vivre because I know that the future is just bleak.
Okay, so this is what they did. They submerged a robot finger in a blend of collagen, human skin cells called dermal fibroblasts, whatever that means. The mixture settled into a base layer of skin or dermis on the finger. The team then poured liquid containing human keratinocyte cells onto the finger, which formed an outer layer of skin, or what we know as the epidermis. Then after 2 weeks, skin covering the finger actually got to be a few millimeters thick, compared to the thickness of human skin. So like kind of comparable, and the lab made skin was strong and stretchy enough to withstand a bending of the robotic finger. Mm. It could also heal itself. Mm-mm. When researchers made small cuts on the robotic finger. Mm. They covered it in a collagen bandage and then the skin healed itself. Bethany, don't panic, because living robot skin doesn't have nerve endings. And nerve endings is kind of like what makes us human. It makes us, you know, aware of our surroundings. Also, the skin doesn't like last a long time to maintain its elasticity per se. It's got to be soaked in sugars and amino acids and other ingredients that skin cells need to survive. So these robots would have to take like frequent baths of nutrients.
I'm concerned that it doesn't feel pain. That's worse.
But also think about movement. Like, if you really want a robot that is really human-like.
We don't want that.
Okay, yes.
So if these like robot baddies are attacking us and they don't feel pain, Kathleen, that's worse.
But also they don't have like a good... They don't know their surroundings. Like, they can't really attack us because nerve endings tell us where we are in space.
But they have robot brains.
No, you're right.
Look, Kathleen, Dr. Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Park was more prescient than any of us realized. Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
They should. Wait, did you see? Okay, you know that scene in the first Jurassic Park?
Yes.
In the Jeep where the kids, the glass on the top of the Jeep is broken.
Of course. I think about it all the time.
Yeah, the kids are trying to keep the dinosaur away.
Yes.
I saw on the internet, and I don't know if it's real, but I believe everything that I read on the internet.
I know.
That the glass actually broke.
Oh, no.
And that the kids were actually scared for their lives. Which moments like that in movies really make it so much better.
I mean, that's what you got to do. You know, if you're going to have kid actors, you got to just terrorize them. If we've learned anything.
Remember the time you tried to commission a painting from the actress?
From Ariana Richards?
Yeah, she played the little blonde girl in the movie.
I couldn't afford her is the thing. Her assistant like emailed me several times. I got drunk. If you missed this episode, it was a long time ago. I got drunk. And filled out the I'm interested in commissioning a portrait from you, Ariana Richards, form on her website. And her assistant got back to me quite quickly.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I got drunk recently and bought a lot of different lavender coffee and tea products.
I don't know why. We all have our drunk priorities.
Things showed up at my door and I was like, huh, where did that come from? Lavender flavored coffee grounds. Then a bottle of lavender London Fog, which is like a milky tea drink.
Yeah.
Our friend M from That's Why We Drink, they talk about London Fogs all the time.
Yeah.
And then I ordered lavender simple syrup.
Ooh, that sounds good.
So I can put it in coffee drinks and cocktails and whatever.
That sounds actually really, really good.
Bethany, what do the following people have in common? Ringo Starr, Joey Fatone, Chris Kirkpatrick, and all of the members of 98 Degrees that aren't Nick Lachey.
Ringo Starr is really the odd one out there. They're all going on tour together?
Mm-mm.
They formed some sort of scientific community?
No, they are the less attractive members of their respective boy bands.
Oh.
I know, it's not... Oh, I know, should be at that. It's not very nice of me to say that.
Is this a science thing?
It's a science thing.
Well, okay.
Okay, that was the joke that I wrote to set up.
Oh. So they're not actually involved in this story.
And like... And like if people named a bunch of podcasters, I would be on the same sort of list.
So hurt.
I would be on the less attractive podcaster list.
Oh my God.
Okay, so that's my joke for this story. You ready?
Okay.
Uh-huh. Boy bands aren't the only trick for semi-attractive human males to pick up girls. It's also applicable to the frog world.
Ooh.
Yeah. So if you're a frog and you would like to be a dad, you need to find yourself a way to get a frog lady to host your little froglets.
Sure.
Part of this ritual includes luring in the fairer sex with the sound of your attractive, manly frog voice.
Yeah, of course.
And biologists in New Hampshire have discovered that joining a chorus of male frogs singing... Thus, a frog boy band can help you get a lady, a frog lady.
Sure, you need your wingmen to maybe drown out your ugly voice.
Yeah.
And make you look better.
And you know, I take this back. Years ago, Bethany, you and I were both there. I think it was the year 2012.
Okay.
Or maybe late 2011. No, 2012. We met One Direction.
Yes, we did.
And I thought to myself... Harry Styles.
Yeah.
Is the least attractive member.
What?
Of that band. Now,
you thought that?
Very creepy of me because.
Because you were a woman.
I'm a woman. And at the time he was a boy. And I was like, well, thank God he has a good voice.
Oh, funny.
Get out of here. I take every ounce of energy I ever spent thinking that Harry Styles wasn't attractive because I would leave my husband for him in a hot second.
Olivia Wilde did.
I know. Mm-hmm. And Neil and I, like the tweens, like the fellow teens that we are,
yeah.
We've been listening to Harry's new album.
Sure.
And like Neil's been doing research about like should or should we not purchase the vinyl edition of it.
Wow.
And apparently not because the last album was so much better on vinyl than this one. And this one we'll just enjoy on the comfort of our home Sonos system, you know,
via
streaming system, whatever. Okay. So anyway, back to boy bands and frogs.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not going to go into the ins and outs of the band Rixton.
But I don't remember Rixton.
I remember someone saying that they were the next Beatles.
Oh, okay. All right. Never mind. So scientists in New Hampshire took this camera that basically looks like a rover that you might find on Mars.
Okay.
And apparently they use it. It's called an acoustic camera.
Okay.
Apparently car designers use it to listen to all of the facets of the sounds that a car makes.
Oh, cool.
Because it needs to be sort of like a harmonious hum. Oh. Or else no one's going to buy, like you're not going to buy a cranky car making all sorts of clunker noises,
you know,
right?
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, if your car is like running, but there's one thing that's going that you can specifically hear, it's going to be a problem.
Like I was in a Tesla the other day because I got an Uber and it was a Tesla. I couldn't figure out how to open up the car door. Wait. I was like tapping on the door. I was like, where's the pressure point?
Where was it?
It's the handle is flat. And you kind of have to like push in.
Do that to me.
I also couldn't figure out how to get out of the car.
I hate that.
And also, if you're driving a Tesla, like, why are you Ubering? I guess maybe gas mileage. You're getting really good gas mileage right now because you don't need gas.
I mean, they may still need the money, but like a Tesla was a smarter investment.
Maybe.
Because it is less gas money overall, you know?
Interesting. Or maybe it's like their dads or their mm-hmm. friends and yeah. they're just borrowing it. Yeah. Anyway, back to frogs and meeting hot frog females.
Yeah.
So they take this antenna, this acoustic camera, and they took it into this location where there are all these like inner forest frog ponds so they could listen to the voices of the male frogs.
Sure.
And they discovered that wood frogs, when they're singing singly versus when they're singing all together,
uh-huh.
when they're singing together, it literally lures the ladies.
What?
It lures the ladies to the frog boy band choir.
Their boy band brings all the girls to the yard.
It certainly does. And then the frogs can, you know, mate.
I think it's because if you see a group of dudes singing together nicely,
yeah.
it's like, cool, I'm going to have sex with one of you, and uh-huh. it's fine. But if you realize that the one you're sleeping with is the one with the bad voice, kind of ruins everything.
In our lives, Bethany, we are cisgender females.
Yeah.
At what point in our lives do we no longer care about boy bands and we find ourselves gravitating towards, like, old man quartets, like, finding them wildly attractive?
Like barbershop quartets?
Barbershop quartets.
We have posters over our bed of, like, Jerry,
yeah.
who sings bass in the barbershop quartet.
I think it has to do with something about like their sense of humor. Like you're not going to have a bad sense of humor. You're not going to have a nasty disposition if you sing in a barbershop quartet.
No. You have to have a certain level of sense of humor about it. Like you're not going to be the person who's just like who lives and breathes barbershop quartet.
Yeah.
And who's like the really tough one in the band to work with because you're like, we have to tour all the time. We just finished touring. We have to get back on tour.
My friend Megan, her grandfather was part of the barbershop quartet in the movie Runaway Bride.
Oh my God.
And all of his residuals every year is what he used to buy everybody's Christmas presents with.
It's great. I dated a guy who was making residuals on a one-hit wonder song that he wrote and he used it to pay his taxes every year.
That, you know what? That is what I need.
Yep.
Something that is small amount of residuals.
Yeah.
Just enough to cover my property taxes
or
whatever. So anyway, yeah, female frogs like male frogs in boy bands. And then they go off and it's not like a menage a trois thing. They pick the one and then they mate.
I mean, that sounds like a plan, you know?
The really upsetting thing about this whole story, Bethany, is that male frogs, specifically male wood frogs, they lack anatomy to insert sperm.
Okay.
So these dad wannabes, they fight to grab the female's attention, and then they have to grab the female and hold themselves real tight to the female with the hope that the sperm will reach the egg.
I feel like that should have been evolved out a long time ago.
A very, very long time ago.
That seems inefficient.
What happens when you cross a frog with a dog?
You get a hoppy puppy.
You get a croaker spaniel.
Oh!
What's a frog's favorite restaurant?
Oh, God. Look. I don't.
IHOP.
Damn it.
Speaking of dogs.
Okay.
This story is going to make a lot of sense to you if you are a dog owner or a lover of dogs. Because you know those cute puppy faces that your furry friends give you when they want something or when they've done something really bad.
Yeah, they look really sad.
Yeah, and they need your forgiveness.
Yeah.
Well, scientists have found that dogs' faces have evolved to improve their connections with people.
That makes so much sense.
So face muscles of dogs are very different. Like the dogs that we have in our homes today, very different from those of their wolf ancestors. And basically the change was due to the evolution of charming humans.
Oh my God. And that makes sense, because if you picture a wolf, I don't know if I've ever seen a wolf look sad.
Yeah.
Now, probably a wolf isn't going to show me it's sad because it's just going to want to kill me. But like, I don't really see a wolf being like, oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Researchers discovered that modern home dogs that we have today, they have more muscles around their eyes that give them those puppy dog eye expressions.
God, we're all so dumb. We're just mush.
And apparently they have 66 to 95% faster twitching muscle fibers than wolves. Wolves only have 25%.
It's amazing. Good for them.
And then this is really interesting. Humans, the muscles in our faces are also dominated by fast twitching fibers. So we can, in an instant, express how we're feeling on our face. The muscles in our backs, however, are dominated by slow twitching fibers. So they can tolerate loads for longer. So if you pick up a 10-pound weight, you can hold it for a few minutes. But if you try to hold a smile in the mirror for like just a minute, it's much harder than holding a 10-pound weight for 10 minutes.
That's amazing.
Fast twitching versus slow twitching muscle fibers.
It also makes sense why it's easy to carry a backpack on your back than on your face.
Yes, Bethany. Yes.
Thank you.
So let's take our science plane over to France.
Great.
Okay. Where French physicists have developed a bubble that didn't burst for more than a year.
The housing bubble?
No, the sphere lasted for 465 days.
Okay, can I ask a question?
Yeah,
you
go
may
ahead.
Not have the answer.
Okay.
Who funded this and why?
Okay. I'll get to that because I literally have in my notes, if you are thinking right now that this is a pointless science discovery, think again. So that comes later.
Thank you.
Let me give you the science behind it first. Typical bathtub or dish soap bubbles, they only last for just moments before going pop.
Yeah.
And that's because gravity. Wow.
It sounds like a lumber baron, like H. Gravity Wilson, Esquire.
Gravity, right? That's how, okay, gravity. Wow, my brain is slow today.
It's okay, it's a Monday.
Gravity. Gravity. Gravity-induced drainage, a.k.a. the evaporation of liquid inside of the sphere, causes the bubble to pop, right?
Okay, yeah.
So researchers, when they formed this bubble that didn't pop, they found that a very high concentration of glycerol, a compound used in foods and medicines, we just had a whole skincare episode a few weeks ago where there was a dermatologist on a podcast that gave the advice of having, after you put on your hyaluronic acid, having a moisturizer that has glycerol in it to keep in the moisture. So the same thing, bubbles and skincare hand in hand.
Bubbles.
Glycerol, if you have enough of it in the sphere of the bubble, it'll last longer because glycerol keeps the liquid from evaporating.
Do you think they had the bubble like in a little box, like a one of those boxes where you keep a commemorative baseball? And like they had it and they were like, if anyone touches this, and there was like some intern who got dangerously close to popping that sucker by accident.
And it's like, whoops. I don't know. Maybe they had it in a padded room. That's a good question.
Yeah, where do you keep that bubble?
Yeah. Is it just floating around? Do you have like a system of fans to keep it from bumping against the wall?
Hey, Jacques, where do you keep that bubble?
Where do you keep that bubble? So anyway, right now, if you're thinking that this is a pointless science discovery, think again. Researchers in medicine and consumer products always are looking for ways to fight evaporation.
Okay.
So the exact techniques that these French scientists use to keep this bubble from bursting can really be helpful in things like if you suffer from dry eyes, how to hold the moisture onto the top of your eye. Mm-hmm. Also, aerosol sprays to keep them in the air longer or aerosol type medicines to keep them effective longer.
Sure.
Stuff like that. Now, Guinness Book of World Records has yet to acknowledge this bubble, the bubble before this bubble.
This is breaking news.
The bubble before this bubble did not last as long. There's a host of bubble related records that you can look up. That is that in terms of bubbles.
Wow. You know, I thought it was dumb.
Yeah.
But as someone who wants her skin to stay supple.
Right.
I like knowing they're doing some bubble based research.
So I want the scientists who made the robot skin.
Yeah.
And the scientists who discovered all of these amazing properties of glycerin.
No.
To get together, Bethany.
No, Kathleen, no, because then...
No.
I have to back away from the mic because I'm too passionate. Because then they're going to make skin that lasts. Kathleen and the robot overlords are a thing.
I want them to make a face cream so I can stay looking my age for longer.
I don't think we should be introducing those robot scientists to anyone new.
Bethany, imagine a face cream that takes 10 years. Off of your face.
Yeah, but it also quickens the singularity to happening like in 2 years rather than the 50 that my step cousin Alex said.
Bethany, okay. Oh, I just purchased this glove, this mitt from Amazon that apparently Instagram sold it to me.
Of course.
Just like everything I buy nowadays, that it will get rid of all of the sunspots on my body. It'll scrub away all of my dead skin.
Okay.
And I'm really looking forward to being a raw little baby again.
Of course. If there's anyone who loves to take off multiple layers of skin at one time, it's you.
Yes, I love it. I love it so much. Okay. If you have a child with a weird name.
Yeah.
A weird, unusual name that people go, that's a beautiful name.
Yeah.
Don't worry. It's not entirely your fault.
Why isn't it their fault?
Because science says, specifically Dr. Mitchell Newberry, this comes from scientificamerican.com. Dr. Mitchell Newberry, they are an evolutionary biologist. They say that when names are trendy, it is in human nature to find a name for your child that isn't trendy because there's this phenomenon called negative frequency dependent selection, which basically means that you want to stand out in a crowd because you'll last longer or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Dr. Mitchell Newberry studied the database of names given to babies in the U.S. over the past century because he wanted to like see where name conformity trends went. And he says that as names become popular, some parents are driven to find something more unique to help their child stand out. Mm. And it is literally a genetic trait.
That actually, I can see that. I can see that because I think in some situations going along with a crowd will help you stay alive.
Yeah.
But in, you know, mating, et cetera, like if you're going straight to just biological needs and what pulls us as animals, standing out is going to get you sexed.
Yes. Yes.
It's going to have you know, you're going to get babies and you're going to perpetuate the line. As humans, it's going to like, you're going to stand out for jobs. You're going to stand out for attention.
It's part of a cycle called the boom bust cycle,
okay,
which is not only applicable to baby names, it's kind of applicable to all sorts of industries, yeah. like the Industrial Revolution, boom, bust. Like
yep.
some things become really popular. A lot of people do them. And that's how we get like amazing developments in medicine and science and industrial technologies.
And lots of new apps.
Yeah. So if people are thirsting after the newest thing, like the newest thing is going to be better than if people weren't thirsting after the newest thing.
Sure.
So that is that. So if your baby is named Kale or, mm-hmm. I don't know, Marigold mm-hmm. or
Pubert.
But can you imagine naming a baby Puberty?
I mean, the Addams Family named their baby Pubert. And that baby was cute.
Short for
It was just Pubert.
Okay.
That baby was born with a mustache.
Oh.
So you knew that baby was important.
Okay, Bethany, there is definitely... Okay, the baby was born with a mustache.
Yeah.
That's why the baby's name is Pubert. The baby had already gone through puberty in the womb.
Maybe. Can you imagine? Maybe that would be better, though, because then all of the, like the kids like emotional break like outbursts are happening in utero, so you can't hear them yelling at you. You can feel them kicking, but you can't hear them like talking back.
Yeah, they're just in there writing like really angry poetry.
Oh yes, the angriest poetry.
Angriest poetry.
Wearing trench coats everywhere and like you know using a wheelie suitcase instead of a backpack to be different.
I found a book of angry poetry that I wrote in middle school in my childhood bedroom.
What were you the angriest about?
Man, you know, I'm going to have to bring it in so yeah. we can really deconstruct it.
Sure.
The gem of it was in the folds of this like little journal.
Yeah.
Was a paper that I had submitted for a school project.
Uh-huh.
The year probably was about 1998 because it's still on typewriter paper.
Yeah.
Because we didn't get a computer until 1999. Bethany, I wrote and submitted and my teacher gave me a plus plus. Fan fiction of all of the hard-hitting WB characters starring myself.
Wow.
Buffy was in it.
Wow.
Giles was in it.
Was Angel in it?
Angel was in it.
Oh.
You know, all of the characters of Dawson's Creek.
Sure.
At some point, I'm dating Pacey.
Oh, my God.
I think my parents have died, and Lucy camped. I move in with the Seventh Heaven family.
Oh, you shouldn't have, because that dad turned out to be a pedophile.
So Lucy Camden is like my sister, and also Claudia from the Babysitter's Club is in it.
She was the artsy one.
Bethany, I'm telling you that everybody is in it. Everybody.
Please bring it in. Please bring it in. Please bring it in. We'll do a dramatic reading.
Yes. Bethany, it is 6 pages long.
Wow.
6 pages long. Okay. Anyway, I don't know where I was, but let me tell you about my last science story.
Okay.
Have you ever felt on a day where the weather is bad that you're like, ugh, this day goes on forever and ever and ever and ever? You are not alone, Bethany. I mean, you didn't answer me when I asked that question.
No, I love those days.
Okay,
but,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, but you know, most people probably, yes.
Well, science literally says that days with bad weather are longer than days with nice weather because how is a day measured? A day is measured in how long it takes the Earth to rotate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so when there are gases in the atmosphere because the weather is bad, it changes how fast the Earth rotates.
That doesn't make sense because by like microseconds?
10 microseconds.
Okay.
10 microseconds. The Earth's rotational rate depends on a distribution of mass across the surface. This includes the aggregation of gases in the atmosphere, the Earth's solids, the sloshing of the ocean, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
So, in fact, you know when there was that huge earthquake in Indonesia in December of 2004 and then it spawned that deadly tsunami?
Yeah.
There was so much water that it slightly changed our planet's shape and it sped up the Earth's rotation by 2.68 microseconds.
Jeez.
Yeah. And actually, in 1965, you might recognize this name, Sir Edmund Halley, the discoverer of Halley's Comet.
Oh.
He hypothesized that the moon was accelerating in its orbit, but actually the Earth's rotation was slowing down, making it appear like the moon was gathering speed.
You know what?
Yeah.
I don't like it when the Earth is inconsistent like this.
Bethany.
I want consistency.
Yeah.
I like to know that my Earth is on time.
I know.
And I don't like that. I don't like this. You know, if I'm on like, I don't know, go hiring a new person.com.
Yeah.
I don't want the earth to not be punctual or consistent.
So, Bethany, turns out that global warming is speeding up the length of our days as well. And just a few years ago, days were 3 milliseconds longer.
We could have done so much. We could have traveled.
So, I mean, Matt, listen, I mean, if you add up all those milliseconds,
nearly a second.
It's nearly a second. Nearly a second. So, you know, every now and then, scientists that study this, they have to like throw in what they call a leap second to balance everything out.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. How do you know? How can you tell?
What day is it even?
I can't even trust it.
And so now when I'm late to record or meet you or something,
don't you even
I'm
going to
blame it on the Earth's axis and the rotation.
You are not late by milliseconds.
Okay, you know what? So recently we had some family over for dinner and Neil's uncle goes to open our pantry and he's like, wait a minute, why are you fully stocked with liquid IV? And I was like, Uncle Mark, why wouldn't we be fully stocked with liquid IV? Because liquid IV is the fuel that keeps my household running.
Yeah, when Dennis stays over, we start the mornings together with liquid IV. It's just a part. Yes. We pour each other coffee and we make each other a liquid IV. And Dennis will be like, this morning's flavor is grape. And I'll be like, your morning flavor is acai.
Yes. And sometimes I judge my day by if I need my liquid IV first or if I need my coffee first.
Completely.
It's like there's different feels.
Yeah. Look, if you don't know what liquid IV is yet, get on board with our club. We have a lot of members. Liquid IV is this amazing hydration multiplier. It's a powder that comes in a bunch of different flavors. You pour it into 16 ounces of water and it hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone.
My favorite trick is the strawberry liquid IV flavor with a little bit of lemon juice in there. Ooh. It tastes like strawberry lemonade. I feel like a kid again when I'm drinking it.
Yeah, and I like mixing the cherry with their mango flavor. It's just like a really tropical vibe.
And they also have other flavors like pina colada and sour cherry and lemon lime, and I could go on forever.
It gives you 5 essential vitamins, B3, B5, B6, B12, and vitamin C. And it's made with premium ingredients, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. And by the way, Liquid IV is on a mission to change the world. They've donated over 20 million servings globally.
So grab Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and then use the code TASTE at checkout.
That's 25% off anything you order when you use the promo code TASTE at liquidiv.com.
Experience better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code TASTE.
Bombas' mission is simple. Make the most comfortable clothes ever and match every item sold with an equal item donated. So when you buy Bombas, you're also giving to someone in need.
And Bombas designs their socks, shirts, and underwear to be clothes that you cannot wait to put on every day. And I can 100% back this up.
Yeah.
When I'm like last minute running out the door looking for a pair of socks, I am furiously like going through my sock pile going, where's another pair of Bombas? I need a matching pair.
You're looking for the pair that has the webbing around the arch because that's how you can tell it's Bombas.
Yes, I am.
I was Twitch streaming with Dennis and at one point, because I'm sassy, I lifted up my leg and did a kick. And someone in the chat said, I love your socks. Are they Bombas? And they were.
Of course they are. And you know what? I love it when I get to see little kids on Instagram videos wearing Bombas socks too, because I know that their feet are supported for the growing that needs to be done when you're a kid.
If you're thinking socks are socks, why? No, friend. Bombas socks are designed to be incredibly comfortable, to wick sweat away from your foot. They don't have any of those toe seams, so you're not going to get calluses. And they have this cozy webbing. It's like a honeycomb shape that goes around the arch of your foot to supply arch support.
I'm a huge fan of their no-show socks because I like to make the illusion that my leg is longer with really short socks in the summer. And Bombas's no-show socks are engineered to never fall down.
Hell yeah.
So my ankles can soak up the sun while my feet are still cozy in a sock.
And they make underwear that's breathable, t-shirts that have thoughtful design features like invisible seams and the perfect weight so they just hang right.
And so far, Bombas customers like you have helped to donate over 50 million items of essential clothing.
Go to bombas.com/taste and get 20% off of your first purchase.
That's bombas.com/taste for 20% off.
Bombas.com/taste. So, Kathleen, I've just been noticing articles that have been coming up saying Netflix canceled another beloved show.
Yeah.
I haven't been reading those articles, but I see them, and so I know people are mad. So Netflix and HBO both have kind of been in the news recently for doing this. And Netflix apparently cancels shows if the show does not, within the first season or two, immediately hit a certain number of viewers or subscribers.
Oh.
And even if the audience for a show is super passionate and engaged,
yeah,
if it's not the numbers they want, they'll cancel it.
Wow. Our podcast would never make it on Netflix.
No. Never. And so it sucks because then you have like the passionate fans are like the really vocal ones. And that's why you hear this outcry. And so like here's some of the shows that Netflix canceled that got a lot of bad press. Archive 81, which was, I watched that actually, and I don't really watch much. It was the show based on a podcast. It came out like this year about a guy who does a podcast who is trying to figure out like culty stuff and there's like time travel stuff.
I watched that movie. They canceled it.
Yeah, they canceled. So there's no season two.
Oh, Bethany, I'm so sad.
I know. It sucks. I'm nervous about Josh Brolin Finds a Hole because they haven't said whether or not they're bringing out season two. And there's a lot of questions that were raised in season one.
Is that the name of an actual show?
No, it's called Outer Range, but I prefer to call it Josh Brolin Finds a Hole.
That's right. That's right.
The OA got canceled, I think, after two seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The OA season one was really good.
Yeah.
Remember the dance?
Yes, I do remember the dance.
That all the kids are doing in the cafeteria to fight the shooter. That was really powerful. I used to come into work and do that dance.
Wow.
It was a good workout.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of modern influenced movement in it.
I didn't watch the full season of OA because I'm still trying to think of that dance and I don't think I know it.
Oh, it was so good. It was so good. And that Marge, nope, not Marge. Lois, nope, not Lois. Who was the older lady from The Office? She was in it.
Oh, you know, the one who was married to Bob Vance of Vance Refrigeration?
Yes. What was her name?
It wasn't Lois. Bob, who was dating Bob Vance Refrigeration? It was, everyone's like, Phyllis.
I wanted to call her Roberta for some reason. Phyllis started doing the dance. And let me tell you, she can move.
Yeah, she's great. She's an actress.
Yeah, okay. You know? All right, the OA.
Also, Altered Carbon, Sense8, and Luke Cage. People were all really upset about.
Yeah.
HBO Max just canceled Made for Love, which had two seasons, 94% on Rotten Tomatoes, was critically acclaimed, but they canceled it.
No, I love that show.
Really?
You were ruining all of my dreams today, Bethany.
It sucks. And the show Raised by Wolves, which I had not heard of, but it's two seasons.
Oh, I'm surprised because they keep pushing that on my HBO Max interface.
Okay. The theory about Raised by Wolves is that Warner Brothers merged with Discovery.
Oh.
And so they were probably looking at budgets really closely and seeing like what is simply not bringing in the money.
Well, maybe there was already like a big wolf hard hitter.
Yeah.
Like on the science-y side.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, there's not enough room here for two wolves.
Yeah, this block is only big enough for one wolf.
And we're going to keep the Nat Geo wolf documentary and we're going to give the axe to Raised by Wolves.
Which is interesting because wolves are pack animals.
They are.
Famously.
Oh, how dare they?
Yeah. So here are some shows that were canceled too soon, according to people. And then we're going to go through some shows that should have been canceled way longer than they were. The show Firefly, it was on for one season.
What network?
Oh, God, I don't know. Okay. This was a long time ago.
Okay.
This was like the same guy who did Buffy.
Oh.
He has since been canceled.
Probably on the WB or something, yeah.
The premise is 500 years in the future, a renegade crew aboard a small spacecraft tries to survive as they travel the unknown parts of the galaxy and evade warring factions as well as authority agents out to get them.
Oh, it was on Fox.
That sounds like a Fox show, yeah.
Wait, speaking of Buffy. Bethany, there is a new show on Netflix about a vampire teenager, right? And her vampire family.
Uh-huh.
and then a vampire hunter, another female teenager, and they fall in love with each other, these two girls, but one is the hunter and one is the vampire.
It's a real will they, won't they?
And it's a, and Bethany, it looks so good.
What's it called?
It's called...
Will They, Won't They?
No, hang on.
Will They, Won't They?
Netflix, teens, vampires, and hunters. It is called First Kill.
First Kill.
And so they're both like training to be, you know, like good, good counterparts to their family, hunter and vampire and whatever. And they fall in love with each other. And it's about the two families not killing each other because their daughters are in love.
It's not getting great reviews.
Stop it. Don't say that. Don't say that. The mom from Gossip Girl is in it. I can't wait to see it.
Variety said Netflix's First Kill is a tired take on teens, lesbians, vampires, and teen lesbian vampires.
Come on, man.
I like that title, though.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But you know what? It might be great. I don't mean to burst your bubble. I don't mean to bite into your bubble with my two sharp teeth and burst it.
Yeah, no. Variety says the show sucks. Well, you know what, Variety? You suck.
Oh, shit.
You don't have a lot of variety, Variety.
Whoa.
I am making claims literally out of my ass. I don't read Variety.
You guys, you can't see this because it's a, an oral medium, but I'm holding her back. All right. Another show that was canceled too soon. Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah, everybody loves that one.
Yep, yep. My So-Called Life. I think it had one season.
Is that it?
It maybe had two. My source said it had one.
Someone recently put that out. Maybe it's Hulu. Hulu put out Access to My So-Called Life.
Yeah.
And it's actually, it's real. I'm a huge Claire Danes fan.
Yeah.
I worship at the altar of Claire Danes.
She's great.
And it's actually like pretty good.
Yeah. One season.
That's it. That's I feel like everybody talked about that show forever and ever and ever.
And that's why it's crazy that it got canceled.
Huh.
That was also our introduction to Jared Leto.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. Hannibal. Did you ever watch Hannibal?
I don't think I did.
This was a show that I watched. Uh-huh. It was on for three seasons. It explores the early relationship between Hannibal Lecter, who is a psychiatrist, and a young FBI criminal profiler who is haunted by his ability to empathize with serial killers. Now, this is a very funny premise, but it was a very good show.
Okay.
Hugh Dancy played the empathetic detective.
Oh.
Oddly, married to Claire Danes.
Fabulous actor.
He's great. So yeah, when he was like solving serial killer crimes, he just had such big feelings.
Yeah.
It was really hard for him. And he had such big feelings. But the show had arguably the most disturbing episode I've ever seen. And I think I had to stop watching it after that.
Really?
Yeah. Fast forward 15 seconds or 20 to 30 seconds if you don't want to hear this. They were looking for a guy who was killing cops, and they didn't catch him in time. And the reason they wanted this guy is because he was able to make boxes that would perfectly fit your body without any room. And the way he did that is by breaking your bones. And you know that they didn't find him in time because they ran into the guy's room and there was this like average-sized metal box with blood trickling out of it and the officer's badge on top. But the worst part, Kathleen, is that that box had air holes.
And they think that they put him in alive?
Yeah.
Oh, they broke his bone? Oh, no.
And there was no space left.
Oh.
So he was perfectly cube-sized.
Oh, my God. Imagine being the writer that comes up with that.
I know. Like, how much do you be destroyed? What happened to you?
Did you ever watch this show? This was kind of during, like, the Heroes era. Do you remember the show Heroes?
Totally.
Really liked that show. It was sort of like the same sort of vibe. It was called The Nine. And it was about people who were together in a 52-hour hold-up bank robbery.
Ooh.
The nine people that survived and, like, how their lives were intertwined together afterwards.
That sounds good.
Bethany, it was canceled and I was so upset.
You know what? Tim Daly was in that. And Scott Wolf.
I know Scott Wolf.
Oh, man. National American treasure, Scott Wolf. He's probably Canadian. I don't know.
He probably
the best
is.
Ones are Canadian.
They all are.
Okay. So, and then the Santa Clarita Diet. I think that was three seasons.
Yeah. I tried. I wasn't into it.
I didn't like the name. Yeah. And that was a barrier for entry.
It's like, where is Santa Clarita? I know it's California, but like, really, where is it?
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, so now this is where my topic gets a little hinky. Okay. Because then I was going to just list shows that should have been canceled a long time ago. But then I was like, you know what? I should figure out why they should have been canceled. But by the time I thought that I should do that, I ran out of time. So what we're going to do is, if we don't know why it should have been canceled,
okay,
we're going to make up why we thought it probably should have been canceled.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So ER, that should have been canceled long before it was done. That went from 1994 until 2009.
Wait.
Yes.
ER didn't get canceled until 2009?
Yep. And a lot of people point to the episode where a helicopter exploded in season 10 as kind of being where the show jumped the shark a little bit.
Okay.
But that show, yeah, that shit has stopped pretty quickly after like the rest of the main people left.
I remember watching early, I want to say, like, when did you say that show started? ER 1994?
Yeah.
Early ER, probably me in like 94, 95, 96, like just absolutely enthralled with
totally,
George Clooney,
yeah,
and Noah Wiley.
Yeah.
Oh my. I used to sign, because of ER, fifth grade, I used to sign my papers, Dr. Kathleen Heaney, MD.
Oh my God.
And my
such a nerd.
My fifth grade teacher was like, you haven't earned this.
Your fifth grade teacher's dashing those dreams.
She's like, please stop signing MD on your on your math homework, okay?
You haven't earned this. What does she think? Some fifth grader is going to like try to do surgery?
I was like, lady, I just like George Clooney.
Jeez, okay. Let a kid go through a phase. Okay, Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
This show started in 2005.
Uh-huh.
And it's still going.
I have seen every single episode.
Okay, so maybe you can fill me in.
Uh-huh.
One of the things they say caused this to jump the shark, mm-hmm, is season 7 had a musical episode called Song Beneath the Song.
Yes. Yes, it did.
What was that? What was that all about?
They were all just singing.
Like, why?
I don't remember why. I think, you know what it was? I read about this because I was really confused when I watched it. At the time, musical episodes were doing really well.
Was this like the Glee effect?
It was the Glee effect. And a handful of other TV shows had done like one-off musical episodes.
Mm.
So Grey's Anatomy did it and it was like a one and done type thing.
Mm.
And they weren't all great singers, but some of them were surprisingly good. And this is when all of the main characters were still on it. And I think ABC was trying to shake things up.
Because it was probably also like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend time, so people were breaking into songs.
Yeah. There was like a period where a lot of shows did weird musical episodes.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I think that honestly, it should have ended. I can't give too much away.
I think you can.
Because we talked about who Gossip Girl is last episode.
I think if you give a warning.
And someone wrote in the fan group this week that they had just started it and now they're angry.
These shows are old.
Yeah.
So, okay, spoiler alert for some part of Grey's Anatomy.
Okay. Meredith Grey gets COVID.
Okay.
And she sort of almost dies.
Okay.
I think it should have ended there.
She should have died.
She should have stayed dead. But instead, in her COVID, like, looming over, like, death type state, she visited all of these other characters in her dreams that, like, were dead and used to be on the show and whatever. And they were like, it's not your time. And they're all dressed in white, walking on a beach. And it made headlines. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
I think either Meredith Grey should have died or she should have woken up and been like, I'm retiring. I have enough money. This hospital is named after me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Okay, Jane the Virgin.
Mm.
This show was only on for 5 years.
Jane the Virgin.
But apparently, in season 3,
yes,
Jane and her husband Michael, mm-hmm, Michael dies.
Oh.
And then apparently, instead of dealing with a death the way you normally would, which is like you process the death,
yeah,
they just made it even more melodramatic and it just wasn't great.
Yeah, I tried to get into it. It wasn't my jam.
Oh, also, spoiler alert, apparently Michael wasn't dead after all.
Isn't it so... I feel strange about TV shows where somebody is inserted with some sort of sperm when they shouldn't be.
What?
Bethany, there's a show on Netflix right now. I just watched the trailer for it. It's a Danish show. And I can't remember why I know it's a Danish show. Oh, because I think the head character's name is Nana.
Okay.
And Nana is a popular Danish girl's name.
Okay.
And anyway, she's a fertility doctor, and she, in a moment, in a lapse of judgment, she inserts herself with her ex-boyfriend's sperm and becomes pregnant. And then I think she has to win his affections and then pretend that she actually got pregnant instead of like inserting herself with this sperm.
Girl.
Very, very, very bad judgment.
That's a violation on many, many levels.
I mean, and truly, Jane the Virgin, she was inserted with somebody's sperm by accident.
Is that what happened?
I believe so.
I never understood. I thought it got on a blanket or something. I was always taught, Kathleen, I was taught,
Bethany,
or maybe this was my own anxiety,
a blanket?
That like if so, I was taught,
yeah,
in a book or a magazine or something, that if like you're like heavy petting with a guy,
yeah,
and he ejaculates all over a blanket,
a picnic blanket,
a picnic blanket,
you're in public,
yeah, exactly. And if you get too close to that picnic blanket, his sperms could crawl all up inside you and get you pregnant. This is what I believed would probably happen to me, which is why I've avoided blankets ever since.
I mean, theoretically, Bethany,
yeah,
which is, you know, why the pull-up method doesn't work. I mean, not only because there's like pre-ejaculate, but also like wherever they're coming on. Oh God, this is on your stomach or whatever. Bethany is turning all seven shades of red. The proximity to your actual baby making hole is not that far.
Closer than a mile.
Closer than a blanket.
Yeah.
Some might say.
That's what grandma always said. Okay, so Lost.
Yeah.
It went from 2004 to 2010, but it looks like, here's the problem Lost had.
Yeah.
People were throwing out so many theories,
yeah,
of what the actual answer to the show was that I think if those had been any of the actual answers, and a lot of them were good,
yeah,
they couldn't use them now because they had already been posited. And yeah, so it's like, what are you going
to
do?
Funny thing you say that. Turns out that the same thing happened to Gossip Girl.
Really?
Like, Gossip Girl wasn't supposed to be Dan.
Oh, no. Exactly. We're going to get another email. God damn it.
Gossip Girl wasn't supposed to be Dan.
Retroactive spoiler alert again.
It was supposed to be somebody else, and some magazine did like an article about the theories of who Gossip Girl was, and the magazine guessed it. So then the writers scrambled and were like, let's just make it Dan.
That sucks.
I learned that from our fan group because the girl who wrote complaining that we can consistently give away spoilers to Gossip Girl, someone was like, don't worry, it wasn't Dan the whole time. So even though Bethany and Kathleen always say Gossip Girl is Dan.
Don't say we, Kathleen. I've never seen an episode of Gossip Girl. Kathleen is the one.
Listen, you can still enjoy the ridiculousness that is Gossip Girl while knowing that Dan is Gossip Girl, because he wasn't Gossip Girl until they had to like scramble during the last season.
Should I just title this episode Dan is Gossip Girl?
No, that might really, really get us into trouble.
Oh, okay, The Office went from 2005 to 2013.
Yeah.
A lot of people feel like the show should have ended when Michael Scott left.
I see. Yeah, I stopped watching after then because it wasn't the same.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
Your friend is gone.
Yeah,
your best friend is gone.
Yeah.
You know? Once Upon a Time, I've never watched this show. I know it has a lot of fans. It was on from 2011 until 2018.
Yeah.
It had fairy tales that were all blended together, mm-hmm, with like modern and like, I don't know, forests. They said by season four, The Apprentice,
yeah,
the show had expanded its world building to the point of oversaturation. I don't know what that means. What do you think it means?
I don't know. Oh, that sounds like a lot of I'm a fancy TV writer jargon.
Let's look up Apprentice episode of Once Upon a Time.
I always just think of Jennifer Goodwin whenever I think of that show. And is it Jennifer or Jennifer? Because she spells it with a G. Jennifer.
You know what? I don't know.
And she shaved her head for that show, I think.
Real short hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Apparently, Hook asks Mr. Gold to reattach his hand before he goes on a date with Emma. Henry and Mary Margaret try to give Regina hope. Will Scarlet tries to break into the library to find a book.
Oh.
And Rumpelstiltskin looks for a magical box.
I'm telling you that it's just not capturing me.
No, I'm not getting pulled in.
It's not capturing me.
How I Met Your Mother was on for far too long.
I have no interest in ever watching that.
Yeah, it was... They spent many seasons trying to make Barney, who was Neil Patrick Harris, and Robin be together. And they were together and were together and were together. And then, spoiler alert
Who's
for How I Met Your Mother.
Who's the mother? Do we know?
Wasn't it?
Is it Allison Hannigan?
No, wasn't it Christina? She was in a show that got canceled after one season. You guys were just Googling names this episode. Who? This is what it is.
Who is
Christina
the mother?
Christina Milioti?
The singer?
No, not Christina Milian. Kristen Milioti.
Oh.
You've seen her. She's been in a million things that don't get... She was in like A to Z that only made it through M. She was in another show that got canceled after one season.
You know what she was in? She's in Made for Love.
Yes, she's in Made for Love, just got canceled.
Oh, she's great in that show.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She was in an episode of Black Mirror, the like the Star Trek type episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah,
she's so great.
She's in this movie Palm Springs from 2020 with Andy Samberg. That's an excellent movie. It's
okay,
good. You
right
should watch
on.
It.
She's great. Pretty Little Liars. They say it should have ended after season four when they figured out who... Well,
who's
they figured
A?
Out who A was after season two.
But who is A?
You know what? I think it was Dan.
It was Dan from...
someone says Riverdale should have ended after season one.
I am thinking about watching that.
Riverdale sounds bug nuts.
This is why I think I want to watch it.
I too am thinking about watching it.
Yeah, because A, the clothing.
Yeah.
B, anything made for teens is made for me. And you know, it's just, it's that touch of scandal in my life that I'm missing lately.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I know just enough about it to know that it's bug nuts.
Yes.
Let's see. Gilmore Girls after season six, says this person.
Yeah, I think Gilmore Girls came to like a pretty decent end.
Amy Sherman-Palladino left this series after season six.
Yeah.
And apparently it wasn't great.
That happens to a lot of shows. When the original creator leaves,
The
shows just go off the rails. That's what happened with Shonda Rhimes and Grey's Anatomy. It just totally went off the rails.
Yeah.
Though I recently learned, there's something called like there's a Shonda Rhimes theme park somewhere?
Is it Shondaland?
That would make a lot of sense.
Shondaland.
There's some sort of Shonda Rhimes experience. Oh, you know what it is, Bethany? It is Bridgerton. There's a Bridgerton experience.
Of course there is.
There is a Bridgerton experience where you can get dressed up in outfits that look like you're part of Bridgerton, and you go and you watch this interactive show, and I think you like drink champagne. And
it's like Sleep No More, but for Bridgerton.
Yes, and I think you attend like a dance where you're trying to find a mate. I saw some influencer on Instagram attending it, and I was like, wait a minute, this may be the only reason why I would like to be part of the influencer life, so I could be in the VIP section of the Bridgerton experience.
The Queen's Ball, a Bridgerton experience. It's in Chicago, LA, Montreal, DC, and San Francisco.
It doesn't surprise me that it's not in New York, because people in New York would be like,
what?
Stop being like this.
Well, there's so many interactive shows in New York.
Yeah.
It is just like Sleep No More, except for there's no one naked crawling around in blood.
You and Dennis really need to get your butts over to the Spy Museum.
Yeah, we do.
In New York. It is the coolest thing.
Yeah, we need to go there. Dexter, people say, should have ended after season four with the Trinity Killer, but instead it went on and then people hated the ending. I won't say what the ending for Dexter was.
I never watched it, but I started watching the revamp. You know, it recently came back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you watch The Vampire Diaries?
Bethany, not only did I watch The Vampire Diaries, I went to Atlanta and attended a Vampire Diaries convention.
What did you wear? Did you dress up?
I don't remember, but I do know. I kind of got tricked into going because I thought it was like a fun trip to Atlanta. And then my friends are like, surprise, we're going to a convention. And I thought the convention was like very casual, but it wasn't. It was very serious.
Yeah, conventions are serious business.
And I had to pay $100 to attend a dinner where Paul Wesley,
sure,
New Jersey native, and I think also fellow Rutgers grad, He like sat with us at the table for all of 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And where we ate, I don't know, at the Hyatt in Atlanta, we ate, you know, rubber chicken and got to meet our favorite stars.
Did he wear fangs or no?
He did not wear fangs. Oh. And also, let me tell you, Ian Somerhalder, too good to show up to the dinner.
Yeah.
Nina Dobrev, also too good
also
to show.
Good. Yeah, she's got stuff going
on. Yeah.
And then I would say Glee. The problem is that when you're doing a show that takes place in high school, you've already kind of put yourself into a corner.
Yeah.
Because the youngest characters are only going to be there for 4 years.
Yeah.
And unless you make it clear from the beginning that time doesn't exist and everyone is just always in high school, which is fine. It's a choice and that's fine.
Yeah, but you age. Like, kids who were kids in shows before COVID, but the pandemic shut everything down, they come back.
Gray.
And they're
grizzled.
Gray. They have gray hair.
They've seen things.
Yeah, you can. I mean, like, there is a certain amount of aging that has to go on.
I think that you just take it in stride. Look, in the 90s and early 2000s, teenagers in movies were played by 35-year-olds.
Yeah.
We need to just go back to that time and accept that, yes, your favorite high school freshman may have been 16 6 years ago, but now they have aged up to be about 29 or 30. I don't know how math works. And we're all just going to be like, this is fine.
You need to watch. And it is refreshing. And Bethany, you're into like the Marvel stuff, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So on Disney Plus, there's a new Marvel show made for teens. But because, you know, I am a teen media consumer.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Neil liked it too. It's really a well done show. It's called Miss Marvel, where there is a teen, a Pakistani teen who finds like a magic bracelet.
Ooh.
Anyway, the whole point of me telling you this is that I've seen shows trending. This show and the one that Mindy Kaling does about the Indian girl. What is that? Hang on.
Google. This is the Google segment.
Never Have I Ever.
Okay.
Such a good show.
Okay.
The teens are actually teenage.
I can't get behind that.
No, I can get behind it. It is so refreshing.
No.
Never Have I Ever is fabulous. Miss Marvel, fabulous.
I don't want to see a teen playing a teen because teens look so young. I want to see someone who clearly has become a woman like 6 or 7 years ago.
Someone with a melanoma spot on their nose.
Yes, I want to see someone who has had a basal cell carcinoma scare. They've had several layers of skin removed. They're okay. They caught it in time. But, you know, they've been through a lot. They've already been to rehab once, maybe, and they're toying with going a second time.
Okay.
That is the kind of high school freshman I want to see.
Okay. All right, Bethany.
You know, they have a hyphenated last name because they have been married for a super long time.
They have orthotics in their shoes.
They're wearing the trendiest kitten-heeled boots, but there are orthotics in those.
They're wearing mom jeans because they're literally already moms.
They are moms. Hey, fellow teens.
Bethany.
Yeah.
A couple podcasts ago, I told this story about my friend who wakes up in this guy's apartment after hooking up with him the night before. They didn't have sex. They were just hooking up. And she discovers that she's in an apartment that he shares with his girlfriend.
By the way, I thought hooking up was sex.
Is it? I don't know. Hooking up to me is like kissing and heavy petting and maybe ejaculating on a blanket.
I thought hooking up was like having sex.
No.
And like fooling around was everything but.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going with that. Sure.
Well,
okay.
Regardless,
yeah.
They laid sexy hands on each other, but that was about it.
And we went back and forth trying to figure out, should she have left some sort of note in the apartment to let this other woman know that her boyfriend was a cheating dog?
Yeah, because he was like, this is the first time it's ever happened.
Yeah.
And don't worry, it's not your fault. She was like, I didn't think it was my fault.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Right.
Anyway, fast forward a few days, we get an email from a taste bud. Let's not give her name.
Yes.
Do you want to read the email, Bethany?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want me to read the whole email or just the first few paragraphs?
You can read it quickly. I think it's all pretty important.
Okay. We'll name this person Haley Joel Osment.
Okay. No, that's okay. First of all, that's already somebody's name.
Oh, okay. We'll name this person Haley Joel Cosmond.
Cosmond. Got it.
Hello, my dears. I just listened to the campfire episode where you talked about the woman who realized she'd hooked up with a non-single guy and whether or not you'd try to tell the woman. My boyfriend of 5 years and I eloped in February after I found out I was pregnant. We were eventually planning on it anyway. 6 weeks later, I posted our pregnancy announcement on Instagram and I tagged him in it. And a woman sent me a DM telling me that she was in a poly relationship with him. He admitted to cheating with her, but after speaking to two of his exes, I found out he's a pathological liar and a serial cheater, and no one had warned me.
Oh, man.
I did some digging and found so many more women. At the time I got pregnant, he was in five relationships that I know of.
When she got pregnant.
Two of the other women besides me thought they were his monogamous girlfriends. One he'd been with 1.5 years. One he'd been with on and off for almost 2 years.
Ugh.
I quit looking when I got to a count of 9 women during our 5-year relationship, but I know that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Ugh.
She goes on, I shared some of this on the Facebook Taste Bud group while I was alone on my honeymoon in the Bahamas in April. Oh,
I know.
And was surprised to get a message from a fellow taste bud. She said she'd been inspired by my story and clicked on my profile and saw one of my pictures with him and recognized him as someone she had dated.
Oh, my God.
This occurred while we were together. And, of course, she had no idea, but found a few telltale signs in his house. My shampoo and tampons, etc. And he said they'd been left there by his ex, but he just seemed so shady to her that she ended it after only a few months of casual dating.
What a scoundrel! So two taste buds are, what do you call two people who've slept with the same person?
I mean, unintentional kissing cousins?
Kissing cousins, there we go.
I don't know. Okay, so she goes on, I so appreciated her reaching out to me and the supportive words she had to say to me about being strong and moving on for the sake of myself and my baby. I actually really enjoyed getting to know some of the other women I've had to talk to let them know what has been going on and to get tested. It's a Lifetime movie situation, but they're all strong, badass women who have unfortunately been wronged by my soon-to-be ex-husband, but have risen above it, and I hope I can do the same. Let's all keep standing together as strong women. Love you both. And that is from Haley Joel Cosment, not her real name. It's a little bit like an extreme version of The Boy Is Mine with Monica and Brandy.
I always had to be Monica. My friend Sarah always got to be Brandy.
It's like at the end, you know, they both answer the door when the cheating boyfriend comes knocking.
So, I mean, that is wild.
That is awful. I can see your friend's reasoning, Kathleen, for not wanting to get involved.
Yeah.
But
I think moving forward,
yeah.
If I were ever in any type of situation, obviously I'm never going to be dating somebody who, you know, because I'm married
yeah.
and I'm in it for the long haul.
Good.
But if I see someone cheating
yeah.
on my friend,
yeah.
I think in my heart of hearts, moving forward after hearing stories like this, I have to tell.
Yeah.
Because it's just like Haley Joel Cosment said, nobody warned her.
Yeah.
And I know that she'll love her baby.
Of course.
But it probably would have been beneficial for her to never have been in this heartbreaking situation in the first place.
And when you're in a situation, it doesn't have to be a cheating situation, but like if you've ever been in some sort of situation where you learn something embarrassing and you find out that everyone else has known for a long time.
Yeah.
That's mortifying.
Yeah.
It's like, why didn't anyone tell me? Like you were all laughing behind my back. What was going on? What were you all thinking?
Yeah.
And at some point, yeah, you need to stick up for each other. I'm thinking back if I was your friend mm-hmm. and like I woke up in this guy's apartment and I realized he had a girlfriend.
Yeah.
I said last time that I would leave strands of hair behind.
Yeah.
If our hair was different.
You have to leave a note where she'll find it to prove that you were in the apartment.
I think I would have gone to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Found a box of tampons
mm-hmm.
and written a note on the inside of that box.
Yes.
So that she might not find it yet, but she will find it and he probably will not find it. You
yes.
know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Something like that she is only going to use.
Absolutely.
Yuck.
There is a website. So I read this email over the weekend, and I had dinner with my friends this weekend, and I was talking about it because a friend of mine was talking about this story where she had moved in with this guy, had just been a few months, and she needed to purchase something on Amazon. So she opened up his iPad, and the dimwit had left out this chat conversation with his best friend where he was talking to girls on Tinder while he was living with my friend, his girlfriend. And she, you know, she just said she was sitting on the floor, and she can still like feel her body in the moment where her heart sank, where she realized that he was cheating on her. And she was embarrassed. She just didn't want, she was embarrassed that she had just moved in with this guy who was cheating on her. And we got to talking about this, and I talked about the email, and my other friend told me that there is this group, and she invited me into the group. It's for women in the New York City area, and it's called, it's a Facebook group, Are We Dating the Same Guy? Where, I'll invite you, Bethany, yes, so you please. Can see, but a lot of it is if you're dating somebody that you've met on, you know, one of the websites, Tinder, Bumble, yeah. Hustle, I don't
sure.
know.
Farmers Only.
Farmers Only Match, whatever. You post his photo and you ask, hey, there's a slight red flag, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Has anybody else dated him?
And
women come out of the woodwork like, I dated him. This is why it ended. Like, he was a nice guy, but he ended up crazy in the end. Or he was a nice guy and he just wasn't for me. Like,
yeah.
People give genuine feedback. And women will also, they can post screenshots of conversations that they've had with guys.
Yeah.
And, like, will analyze, like, members of the group will analyze whether or not it's a red flag or not.
Oh, gosh.
And a lot of times it's, hey, I didn't date him in New York. I dated him in San Francisco. He moved to New York. He followed me here, moved into the same apartment building I was living in. Like, avoid this guy at all costs.
Oh, he's a stalker.
Stalker.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think that we need to stand up.
Yeah.
As humans, vulnerable humans. Mm. And I want to use the term women, but it's not just women.
No, it's not just women. I think just people in general.
Did you hear the voicemail at the end of the last episode?
No, I haven't listened to it yet.
Oh, Bethany, somebody called in, a taste bug called in. They didn't give their name and said, I was filling in for my friend who had this regular babysitting position. A few days before I was supposed to babysit for this family, the dad called me and asked me to come over and hang out because
what?
He thought I was pretty and cool and blah, blah,
what?
Blah. And so the girl called the taste bug called the wife and told the wife what happened. And the wife just was crying. And, but she said in the end, you know, like she was glad that she told.
Oh, how dumb do you have to be like, oh, this chick is going to be coming over and taking care of our child. I'm going to hit on this chick.
I know.
Like, don't.
So
don't,
stupid.
First of all, don't. But yeah. Second of all, don't choose from the pool of people who know your wife.
I know.
Like, how stupid are you, dude?
How stupid?
People are so dumb.
Like, I can't think of anything more heartbreaking than if Neil were to leave me for one of my friends.
Yes!
I would much rather it be a stranger.
Completely. When Dennis inevitably leaves me, no. I hope it is for someone I don't know. Anyway, Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
Oh, Bethany, I learned that rabbits are cute, but they are destructive.
Oh, yeah, but come on. What are they ruining?
Okay, Bethany, I don't know if I talked about it on this podcast, but I recently found a tick in Hoboken on the side of my toilet.
Oh.
And I haven't been anywhere like woodsy other than my mom's backyard. Her backyard right now is overrun with wild rabbits that are not afraid of humans.
Uh-oh.
Like, a rabbit literally looked me in the eye and said, "What do you want, bitch?" Like, come at me, bro. When I like walked towards it to try and chase it away from eating the nice grass.
Yeah.
This is the thing, the rabbits, they eat the good carpet, not the bad carpet.
Yeah.
They're not eating the crab grass. They're eating the good grass that you just paid $20 for a bag of grass seed for.
Yeah, they have expensive taste.
Yeah, they do. Anyway, they are, I learned that they're very large carrier of ticks.
Oh.
And so I now need to find a way to rabbit proof my mom's backyard. And it sucks. They go munch on someone else's carpet. I don't. They're grass carpet. I feel bad, but I have to.
Yeah.
For human safety purposes.
Yeah. I mean, that's another reason to just not go outside.
I know.
You know?
So I'm going to, I don't know. There's like stuff you can put down that deters them.
Okay.
That like they won't come into the yard because it smells like deer piss or something. I don't know. Something
I mean,
like that.
Cover yourself in deer pee all the time.
Yeah.
That's what I always say.
Anyway, Bethany, what'd you learn this week?
I learned a fun new word.
Oh, tell me.
The word is ultra crepidarian.
Oh, what does it mean?
It's someone who gives an opinion on something they don't know anything about.
Oh, so basically that's us. It's this podcast. We know nothing about nothing.
Yeah, it is expressing opinions on matters outside the scope of one's knowledge or expertise.
Are you trying to drop a hint at me right now?
Not at all. I'm just saying I like learning new, like, big, long words.
Do you have a vocabulary word from school that has stuck with you?
Defenestrate. But that's, my sister taught me that one.
What does it mean?
To throw something out a window.
Defenestrate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Do you have one?
Yes. It is obstreperous.
What does that mean again?
It means like stop being disagreeable.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Like, oh, you're so obstreperous. Like you're annoying. That type of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
Webgirl Kathleen. How about you, Bethany?
I am Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. Where can people find our show?
You can find our show on Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Twitter, at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
You can also send us an email, hello@acquiredtastepodcast.com.
We have a snail mail address, and that's an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
We also have a phone number.
Yeah.
You can call us on a phone number, 917-994-0353.
We have a lively and exciting Patreon. We have a live show tomorrow, but this podcast won't be released by then. But here are the dates for the remaining shows. June 19th, we have book club at 7:30 p.m. And on June 29th, we have a live show at 7:30 p.m. And you can find all the information at patreon.com/acquiredtaste.
Also, a couple of podcast shout outs. We do have our bonus podcast, The Check-In, which
yes.
Dennis and I do. Dennis is our beloved editor and my boyfriend. That comes out every other Friday right on your Acquired Taste feed. Also, I want to give a shout out to the Odd Trails podcast. I was a guest reader a couple of weeks ago for their podcast, so give them a check out. They're lovely, and it's a great spooky story podcast.
Oh, so fun. All right. I think I need an extra deep breath this week.
Yes. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen, this is Reggie. Sorry, I'm a little behind in the podcast, but I just heard now about Dennis putting a shirtless picture up. So, you know, I went right away to see it. And immediately upon seeing it, I realized that I never pictured Dennis looking like that. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, how did I picture Dennis looking? And I realized, when I think of Dennis, I only think of a man sitting down just covered in cats, like cats just sitting on him. So I never really pictured what he physically looked like as much as I did just a man with just cats all over him. He looks great, though.
Hi, Taste Buds, Kathleen, Bethany. I just had to pause the current episode in the middle of the Hate Watch segment because I literally screamed when Bethany was talking about somebody who hate watches The Circle. I literally screamed in the exact same fashion that Kathleen screamed when Bethany was talking about hate watching Emily in Paris because I absolutely love The Circle. Like, it is my dream to be on that show. So, quick synopsis for anybody who doesn't know what it was. Bethany kind of glazed over a whole bunch about the show. You go on the show and you're a contestant and you can only communicate with the other contestants through this social media platform called The Circle. And it's basically you try to like be friends with people and make alliances, and you can go in as yourself or a catfish, and there's a prize at the end of $100,000. And yes, this season did have the Spice Girls on it for a few episodes. They weren't on it for the whole season, but I love that show, and I think people should give it a chance. I honestly do put it in a different category than Love is Blind or The Ultimatum, which I did as well watch. I just wanted to give a genuine, sincere plug for The Circle, just like Kathleen gave a genuine, sincere plug for Emily in Paris. All right. Hope everyone is having a great day.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Maddie from Cleveland, and I wanted to share a new pod really enjoying. I remember like one episode a while ago. I think Bethany was talking about like how she loved work gossip and just wanted to like hear people gossip about work or something like that. Well, there's a podcast called Normal Gossip, and people send in their gossip stories and they just read them on air, and it's so good. A couple episodes ago, there was some quality orchid drama. Highly recommend. After your podcast, probably one of my favorite podcasts. All right, bye.
Well, good morning. I am sitting here at work. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, and I may be a little bit clap happy, but I'm here laughing my ass off by myself with Bethany moaning about these pickups she had, and they're so funny. I don't know if this will help anyone or you or anyone. So every time I get the hiccups, somewhere I heard that your diaphragm is spasming. So what I do is I take a really sharp inhale and I hold it for like 2 seconds, and then I exhale really fast and really fast inhale again, and I hold it a little bit longer then, and I just keep doing that. And I think, at least in my brain, it works where it like forces my diaphragm to do what I want it to do, and then it stops spasming. And every time I get the hiccups, I do this, and it works. And yeah, really quickly it works too. So it's like exhale. And for some reason it works. That probably sounds really dumb over the phone if you can even hear it, but that's my 2 cents. Anyways, have a good day. Bye.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get 3 Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.